Hello, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. We are continuing with our walk through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are in a section of the book now where we move past the pursuit of pleasure to the pursuit of wisdom, but there are some difficulties in navigating the path of wisdom. And today, the one we're going to be looking at is what happens when you find yourself in a position where you're working for authorities, you're submitted to authorities, in the name of God, you're submitted to authorities, but those authorities appear to be unethical or even ungodly. What do you do in a situation like that? And so we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 2 through 9. And Lili, if you would once again read the passage for us, that would be fantastic.
Obey the king, since you vowed to God that you would. Don't try to avoid doing your duty. And don't stand with those who plot evil, for the king can do whatever he wants. His command is backed by great power. No one can resist or question it. Those who obey him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right. For there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? None of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us have the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping that obligation, that dark battle, and in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. I have thought deeply about all that goes on here under the sun, where people have the power to hurt each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, here, I think the central question that the teacher is addressing is, how does one work faithfully under an authority that is ungodly? And verse 2 starts off right away and says, obey the king, since you vowed to God that you would. So the first reason is not because the king has power, although that's the next reason. But the first reason is simply because this is out of an obligation that you swore to do a certain duty. You took on certain obligations, and you should honor those. So there is some kind of divine imperative to submit to authority. And this, of course, has been long debated in the history of God's people. And, you know, what do you do under such circumstances? And there are all kinds of answers, and it's often very situational. But in the Bible itself, we have a number of examples of people who had to serve under ungodly authorities. We have Jonathan under King Saul. We had the prophet Nathan under David, when David was, in essence, rebelling against God during his time of sin. We have Esther during the time that she ended up becoming married to the Persian king Ahasuerus, and they were a captive people. You have Joseph under Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, and then after that, under the Pharaoh himself. You have Daniel serving under Nebuchadnezzar. You have King David himself serving under King Saul. And there's that famous scene, of course, where Saul is pursuing David. He's going to kill him, and David is hiding out with his men in a cave, and Saul comes in to relieve himself. And so David's men believe that this is the moment that God has given to him where he can strike down Saul. He can strike him dead. Saul is defenseless. And David goes and cuts a corner of his robe. And as Saul leaves the cave, David is conscience-stricken, and he goes outside. His men must think he's crazy at this point. He goes outside, reveals himself to Saul, and say, you know, my master, why are you continuing to pursue me? And he shows him the corner of his robe, and he repents of doing that. But he shows him, look, God gave you into my hands. I could have taken your life, but I didn't. Will you now finally believe that I'm not against you? And King Saul is overcome in that moment. He would turn around later, but in that moment he was overcome. And he said, surely you will be king. You are more righteous than me. There's a way in which good leadership in a biblical sense is predicated on good followership. And Jesus said it so many ways, but the type of leadership that God demonstrates is servant leadership. So many stories in the Bible, and these are just some of them, that demonstrate working under ungodly authorities. But submission to the king, the teacher here says, though, has a practical component to it as well, that it actually will present you with the opportunity to find a path towards doing what is right. Verse 5 and 6, those who obey him, that is the unrighteous king, will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right, for there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. This reminds me of Nehemiah, who, serving under a foreign king, an occupying king, he prayed for 3 months before he was ready to show his sadness in the presence of the king in order to petition the king for the approval to begin the migrations, or setting up things for the migration back from Babylon into Israel. So a question, I think, you know, we're obviously in a very different context in many ways, not just because of the nature of our government, but I think a question for application for us might be, you know, to what extent, first of all, politically, does our republic, democratic republic structure, change our obligations to the king or to authority, since we have no king and power is intended to be part of the people? That's one part of it. And I think, you know, if we just look at our own lives outside of the political realm, I thought it was important to talk about politics, especially given the series that we're in. But even outside of the political realm, we certainly often work in hierarchical systems in our workplaces, right? You know, and so how do you work for maybe not an unethical king, but an unethical manager or unethical CEO? What do you do when you seemingly don't even have a choice? You know, some people, we choose and pursue careers. We have the privilege where we can choose what jobs to say yes to and no to. But sometimes there really is an ethic of just putting food on the table and providing for your family. And not everybody has the kind of choices that some of us have. And I think given this context, maybe a perspective might coming out of it might be that wisdom would say to bide your time in the face of this kind of raw worldly power, that but to take assurance that in the end all powers fall, all powers fail. Verse 8 says, you know, in the face of death, wickedness will not rescue the wicked, so the wicked will fall as well. But even then, good can still be done, even when under evil powers. Verse 6, there's a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble. So these are complex questions. As I said, Christians and people of God have been debating about this for centuries, literally millennia. And there has never been one simple answer. I think that's the difference between, say, wisdom literature and some of the other other books of the Bible, where, you know, thus saith the Lord. You know, when God says something, when God weighs in on a subject, there's a very clear, you know, even absolute meaning. But when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about things how they usually work. We're not talking about things how they always work. And there's always a matter of application and understanding our current situation and figuring our way forward, maybe failing forward in some ways. And so it's never a matter of just like, it just says this, so do this. There's a way in which we have to be schooled by wisdom, but we still have to do the work of figuring our way forward. And I think this is a great question for us to think about, not just in politics, but in our workplaces. How do we work in a way that is faithful to God while still submitted to power structures that are unethical or even ungodly? Lili, I'm wondering what you see in this, and maybe some of what you've encountered this in your own life and as in counseling others, especially perhaps through InterVarsity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is very interesting that we live in a democracy, and I have family and friends who are in the military, and I think about, like, their boss is the president. You know, like, regardless of, like, how, what plays out, like, if that's their career, you know, like, that's who they submit to, and their bosses submit to the president as well. And so how do you have a posture of wisdom? How do you use your wisdom wisely? My dad would tell me stories. He was in the military, of how you can't speak up on everything, but you can try your hardest to be your true self. And so I think that is very similar here. Like, how do you do the right thing, knowing that, like, oh, that the choices that my boss is making is, like, not what I stand for. And I think it's very similar with the folks at Cambridge, whether they're in a PhD program, biotech, maybe their supervisor or whoever's over them, their superior, is making them work long hours. You know, like, how do you stand firm in that? And I think what's key here is that there is a time and a way to do what is right. Right. In verse 5, some people have shared with me that, like, they look to, like, the end goal of whether it's a 6-year program or something. They're like, okay, when I have enough authority, maybe, or when I have enough or enough understanding of a situation, like that's when I can speak in, or when I have given a position or a spot to share, like a project to speak on, like maybe that's my opportunity to give a different view. And I think also it's hard at Cambridge because most of us are Asian and indirect. And so it feels very shameful to like speak against someone who's in authority. I mean, we can even think our own parents. Like it's not like it's, yeah, in a certain situation, I think like in a lot of immigrant cultures and communities, whoever is in authority, like how do we submit? How do we work with, continue to be in relationship with some of these people? So that's what sticks out to me. Even though we live in a democracy, I'm like, oh, it's in certain spaces in our culture for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you're talking about some of those examples, I was reminded of a TV show, Scrubs. It was medical comedy, and there's this one a female doctor, Dr. Elliot, and she was dating this guy, and he was continually upset that her job seemed to take a priority over their relationship. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a relationship where she could put him first. And she eventually had to come to a point, and I thought this was pretty deep for a comedy, a 22-minute situational comedy. But she finally, she came to him, approached him and said that, you know what, I can't promise you that I will put you first. If I'm honest, I just can't do that. The nature of my job is nature of my career as a doctor, I cannot promise mm-hmm. that I will put you first. But what I can promise you, and I hope it will be enough, is I can promise you that when it's up to me, I will put you first. Mm. And I thought that was a really good kind of distinction to recognize that we have choices. We don't always have every choice available to us, mm. but we have choices. And perhaps in those situations, we can think about, well, I can at least commit to those moments when I have the authority and I have the choice, that in those situations, I will make the choice that honors my highest priorities. Again, great show, funny and everything, not always super deep, but some moments like that really stick out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about after I graduated college, I lived at my parents for a year. And the first thing my dad said was, as long as you live in this house, you live under my rules. And I was like, but I'm 22. You know, I was like, but don't I have like certain freedoms? And to him, it was like, this is my home, my domain. And I understand that to an extent, but I see that as like, okay, when is it an opportunity for me to use my freedom or whatever? So I can see that play out in career, in family, in even like schooling system. So using our wisdom to find the time, to use the right time and the opportunity. Yeah.
I think this isn't just from the Bible. I think I've heard Noel Tishy and a number of other business leaders and academicians talk about this idea that there's a real skill, a real art to leading from below. Leading people who are hierarchically below you, that's super easy. You just say mm-hmm. what you want and there's going to be, a dozen people who are going to jump at the opportunity to do it. But to find that way to really influence people above you, that's a real art and to life and to wisdom. Mm. Lili, once again, I'm going to ask you, would you pray for us as we close today?
Of course. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We pray for us to find moments and opportunities to use wisdom, to speak truth into spaces. Lord, help us. Those of us who are under leadership that we do not agree with, Jesus, we pray for words of wisdom, for opportunities to speak up, for opportunities to be who you've asked us to be in these spaces. And I thank you that you have placed us here, not forever, but maybe for a season. So thank you for these opportunities. Jesus, we love you. In and pray. Amen.
Amen. And today's Thursday, so we're going to be doing new devotionals Monday through Thursday during the summer. Fridays are going to be our Flashback Friday, so hope you check that out tomorrow. But we'll return to Ecclesiastes on Monday. So have a wonderful weekend. Go in peace.